Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Zellman!
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
And I am Pete.
And thank you for Jordan for announcing.
Yeah.
Jordan D. White.
Jordan D. White. The D-note.
Guys, this is pretty exciting. I was gone last week. How did it go? It was good.
It was great. Yeah, we had a very nice show. Jordan Morris, very fun guy. Did you know he ran the New York Marathon?
Really?
Yeah, it was amazing.
He got from the New York Marathon.
He was a little out of breath, but that might have been the stairs out front.
Yeah.
You never know.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I missed that, you guys.
Yeah, that's all right.
But hopefully our guest tonight didn't have to run miles and miles to get here. Hopefully he leisurely got here, took his time, relaxed. He's chilled out, blissed out.
He's in repose. He's doing push-ups just off to the side.
He's getting beefed up.
He's up to 300.
Yeah, if you're listening at home, he's been doing crunches for the past 17 hours.
Yeah.
It's gross.
We should tell you the difference between a crunch and a push-up. Those are very different.
I know what the difference is. He did 17 hours of crunches, then he segued into push-ups.
Ah, nice. Yeah, you got to cross-train.
Yeah.
What? You got a cross train.
Huh? Is that where you read two comic books at the same time?
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say. Okay, cool. Let's all talk about our gym routines real quick. Pete, where are you headed to? What's your rotation? Are you on an arm day
today?
Well,
do you feel like you probably get enough exercise from putting those Punisher slippers on and taking them off, right?
Yeah, exactly.
True, exactly. Because those things are weighed down.
I want to mention, actually, totally seriously, for those of you guys listening at home, usually Pete wears these disgusting, gross Punisher slippers.
I had them cleaned.
Yeah. I don't know. They're disgusting, gross Punisher slippers. They're actually sitting by the side for some reason.
They're cleaned.
Pete decided not to wear them for this show, but instead he's wearing black and white shoes to perfectly match his Punisher slippers.
That's exactly right.
Well, you don't want to step too far out of your routine.
That's his comfort
zone.
Yeah. Right.
We should start the show.
We should. I'm very excited about our guest tonight. He's an amazing artist. Right now he's working on the Lobo, and he has some stuff to say about Deadpool. Ladies and gentlemen, Riley Brown!
Yeah, welcome to the show, sir. Welcome.
Hello. Come on up.
So great to have you.
It's always
Riley
a pleasure. Charlie Brown. Riley Brown.
Is that, what's up, guys? Do you like that? Do you like that when people call you Charlie Brown? Has that ever happened before?
It's an interesting... who is this?
What is happening?
That's a nightmare made flesh. You may know. I think
he gets a drink. That's nice.
In case you're listening at home...
how do you describe that?
I would call that Gwanis Pete.
Walked into the studio.
He lives in Brooklyn.
So there's a monster in a hoodie with tentacles for hands.
Yep.
Yeah. Wearing a sweatshirt that says Power Play.
Yeah.
Is that a weird coincidence? That's a weird coincidence because you work on a book called Power Play.
Yeah, it is strange that it all happened at the same time.
I'm sorry. I was sitting on
Alex,
your
sitting
comments.
On my stack of comics.
Yeah. What were you?
Don't sit on the comics.
Yeah.
If you guys watching at home, Power Play is a creator-owned comic of mine. It's a digital comic available on Comixology. So, go check it out.
Nice plug, dude. Way to plan ahead.
This is a stunt. This is a publicity stunt.
Actually, I had nothing to do with this.
I don't know.
Yeah, this is a total Howard Stern type thing.
Remember
when he had the first naked lady on the radio? This is the first tentacle monster on a podcast.
We got Sterned.
He also has a very lovely lady with him.
That's correct. Yeah, okay.
Gwanis Pete's a popular guy.
Yeah, exactly. Gwanis is a very popular neighborhood, though.
It's
gentrifying.
It's getting nice.
There's an ample hills there.
There's a what now?
Ample Hills.
I don't know what that is.
The ice cream shop. You got to go. It's amazing. Ample Hills ice cream.
Where?
Oh, yeah.
It's in
Gowanus.
What street? It's on whatever Union Street turns into.
Okay.
Around 3rd Avenue.
The whole way.
It is the best ice cream you will ever eat in your entire life.
I will definitely check that out tomorrow.
Bold statement, but it's also very true.
Alex, you're in Park Slope. You're in gritty New York City right now. You're in Manhattan, downtown. Let's talk grit.
Okay,
comic book.
what's your favorite ice cream in New York then?
I just lick
Gritty
the gutter.
Street Vanilla.
I lick the gutter.
Yeah, a garbage can.
Yeah.
Riley, let's actually talk about some art stuff, some comic book stuff. So right now you're working on Lobo for DC Comics.
That is true.
And I'm going to turn it over to Pete, who wants to rip you a new one. Pete.
Well, so I mean, first off, it's got to be like, oh, hey, we want you to work on Lobo. You got to be like, oh my God, this is awesome. Lobo is amazing. And then they say we've made some changes. And it's not the cool Lobo that we all know and love. It's a shitty new Lobo.
Pete reads the word guest, but he hears enemy or threat. I mean, he doesn't know.
Yeah, you know, the series is about the new version of Lobo. They really wanted to. Mm-hmm. DC's really been wanting to push the new guy and give fans the chance to know him.
Right.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's what the series is about.
Can I just, real quick, for those who haven't been reading Lobo and aren't up to speed on what's going on with Lobo, so, of course, DC Comics has their New 52, where they've revamped a lot of characters. In the New 52, it turns out that Lobo, the big, beefy biker guy with chains who says bastage a lot and can regenerate from one drop of blood...
Smoke cigars.
...is not the real Lobo. Instead, there's this assassin... who he took his name from, and the assassin Lobo.
Yes, I mean there's a backstory there that will be, you know, that will unfold as the series goes on.
Smart.
And each issue we get like a little taste of the backstory of the current Lobo or of the new 52.
The real Lobo.
Yeah, the real Lobo.
Stop saying that.
Oh boy.
You know, so there's a mystery there, and there's definitely room to explore what's happening. The classic Lobo, as I call him personally, I call him Classic Lobo and Sexy Lobo.
Okay,
and,
sure, that's understandable.
Great distinction.
Yeah. What's the difference?
One is classic, the other is sexy.
Yeah,
that is a strong.
So
character
which one is which?
Choice.
Yeah.
So Classic Lobo is the one that came from the '80s, and you know the big biker badass with the smokes a stogie, chains, and all that stuff. He replaced his brain with a heavy metal CD. That guy, that we all grew up with. He's the classic one, and he shows up in the beginning of this series, and then
he shows up in the beginning of the series as a severed head that gets disintegrated.
Well, the rest of his body's also there.
Sure,
that's a great point.
That also gets disintegrated.
Not disintegrated, it's electrocuted. We see the disintegration happen. Who knows?
Fair enough.
Who knows how disintegrated he is?
Sure.
Pete calls Classic Lobo Sexy Lobo. And new Lobo is.
I don't judge.
What Lobo?
No Lobo.
The new one, it's fun. It's been great exploring the new character. And really, because no one's really done that much with him before our series started. So it's really been fun to get to me and Colin. Colin Bunn is the writer of the series. It's been great for us to get to put our own spin on the character and kind of, you know, be the first ones to really dive into what he's all
about.
Well,
what is your spin on the character? When you're tackling him artistically, what are you thinking about? What are you trying to channel?
He's a little bit... my buddy Aaron Cooter, who's been doing the covers, he described him as like a mercenary Elvis. And I kind of dig that.
Oh, that's cool.
He's got the haircut and everything. And that's a really good way of explaining him.
New Lobo's sort of like young Elvis, and old Lobo's like old, fat Elvis.
Well, the old one's not fat, but in a way.
No, that's a horrible thing to say. That's also not true.
Elvis
at all.
Was still good when he was fat.
That's true.
Okay.
He's actually more popular than ever when he was fat.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. So my question to you is, like, you got handed something. Mm-hmm. Was it a little bit, did you feel weird about it? Like, oh, I have to create a new Lobo?
He's coming to grips. By the way, I just have to say, I didn't realize you guys were going to gaslight me when you invited me to come to your show.
This is definitely more of a Pete.
Yeah, this is Pete. I've been enjoying the book. I think it's a fun book.
Great. Yeah. I'll take his... What was the question again?
How does it feel to get handed
something?
Don't
let him ask the question again, because it was the same question as the first question he asked, but with different words.
Right, exactly. Did it feel weird to get handed something that was like, hey, we took something that was great, made it awful, and then you're in charge of it?
All right.
That's not cool, dude.
That's not fair.
We didn't make him awful. He's got blue highlights in his hair. He's
awful.
Got abs to the fucking... to the
all the way
sky.
Down to his
it's,
toes,
it's amazing.
Man.
Yeah, he is. Nothing but abs. It's amazing.
But no, he's still a badass mercenary. It's fun. It's just a different character. He's not heavy metal. He's more of a, you know, he's more of a younger,
rock.
Newer
he's
type.
He's Light Rock, yeah, yeah.
He's like, light rock.
Yeah. It's like how you replaced your Punisher slippers with those Cleed shoes.
Slam!
Oh!
You've got two new Lobos on your feet right now, dude.
You got new Lobo, dude.
Now, I know you've worked pretty much all over the industry, but I kind of associate you as a Marvel artist. Now you're working on a DC book. Is there any difference there? Is there any difference in terms of the house style, directives, anything like that?
I mean, I've been working for Marvel for like 9 years at this point, and then so,
doing amazing work, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. And so yeah, so it's it was time to branch out. You know, you can't give them that exclusive for free. You know, what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
So,
exactly.
But is there anything different in terms of how you need to approach the art for DC versus Marvel?
Not really. DC is more hands on. So, like, one thing, the editors, they much prefer to have layouts of all the pages beforehand. And then once a week, Andy Kubert comes by the office, and he'll review the layouts, and then he'll give notes back to you. And so that's something that's really cool about being an artist for DC. And it's different. Like, at Marvel, you have much more freedom to do your own thing. DC gives you more notes, so you're more like, you know, like in issue number 4 of Lobo, there's a crossover with Superman, or with the Superman-Batman comic, and so today they're giving me notes on how to draw Superman's haircut properly. And so,
right, like you were giving him the mullet, and they're like,
maybe.
When
a
did
little,
you last read Superman?
I don't know.
They said they got to update it a little bit.
Yeah.
But,
from the mid-90s.
You know,
you're like, great,
at
I'm
going to
replace
you know,
him with
like,
half a cyborg face.
Yeah, like on Marvel, one issue I'd give Deadpool a mohawk, the other one I'd. Next issue, I'd give him like long wavy hair, and nobody said anything.
Yeah.
He had a mask on the whole time, so
no,
maybe they didn't notice. But
right, and
if you
some
look
issues,
subtly, they're
you wouldn't even bother to draw him at all. You just be like, put a dotted outline and say, insert Deadpool here. Yeah. I'll get to this later.
Right. Use that pose I used last issue.
Yeah. Now, on a more positive Pete note, I know we wanted to talk to you about the Deadpool Infinite comic.
Yeah, you killed the gauntlet, man. I mean, that really unbelievable. Right. I was addicted to every week. Yeah.
It was really weird that you replaced Deadpool with a skinny hot Deadpool, but other than that, I liked it.
Yeah. He did not.
It's weird though. Deadpool's always skinny and hot to me.
He loved the more sexual Deadpool, so I don't know why he's coming out so hard against the sexy Lobo.
Talking about.
You love the Mary.
We're going to go to his house later, and there's going to be a poster of sexy Lobo.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. Yeah, it's right above my bed. It's not weird at all.
Plus, it was your Halloween costume, which I thought was weird.
No, it wasn't. What's great is I love the relationship. Like, to me, if you would have said to me, like, hey, you know what? We're going to have Deadpool get married. And I was like, oh, that's not going to be fun. But it was amazing. It was really well done.
Thanks,
and,
man.
Like, it's great because it's like, you know, you put two monsters together in a way a little bit. It was really kind of magical and fantastic.
That was kind of one of my earlier concepts for Shikla, his wife, was that, like, she comes from a monster world where she's used to, you know, these terrible creatures and stuff. And Deadpool is, like, one of his main character traits is that he's sort of embarrassed. He's all fucked up.
Right.
So am I allowed to curse him?
Please.
Yeah. He's super fucked up.
About stuff that's actually fucked up.
Yeah, he's fucked up in the face.
If it's
he's
not
fucked
up
in his skin.
Yeah.
He's fucked up everywhere. Yeah. And so,
don't abuse the privilege.
Yeah, my grandma listens to everything I do, and all my interviews and stuff, I'm going to hear from this about her.
Oh, nice.
Really?
Hear from her.
Well,
about
I'm sorry,
but anyway,
grandma.
She'll call you and be like,
that was
Deadpool
fucked up, Riley. Who's that fucking asshole Pete?
Deadpool has a skin condition, and he's embarrassed about it, so he wears a full face mask and everything. And so there's a moment in the series where the first time he takes off his mask, and she's, he's like, oh, I'm, you know, don't look at me. And she's like, oh, I think you're beautiful. And it's kind of like,
it's nice.
You know, it's just, you know, so you have that moment, and that's nice, and that's fun to get to, like, kind of get past that level on the character.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, obviously, you're spending most of your time on Lobo, but are we going to get to see you on Deadpool or another title anytime soon?
I mean, I always love drawing Deadpool. You know, every comic convention I go to, I get a million Deadpool requests.
Yeah, nice. Your Tumblr is crazy with Deadpool requests.
Yeah.
is there ever a Deadpool request that you've gotten that you're like, I'm not going to do that?
I don't think so. I mean, I just finished a commission where somebody wanted Deadpool fighting like a dozen toy Sentinels. I didn't really understand what that was about, but I did it.
Crazy specific sexual fetish.
I've got another one on my desk right now that it's a someone wants Sandy, his secretary from the Agent X series, right. from the Cable and Deadpool series. So, I mean, I don't know. I haven't said no yet.
Yeah. Nice.
I'm like Deadpool, man. I'm a mercenary. If the money's right, I'm there.
Nice.
Merc with a pen.
I don't ask questions.
There you go. Plug your stuff. When's Lobo coming out next?
Tomorrow, right?
Issue two came out last week.
Right.
Okay. So, I guess the beginning of December, the first week of December, I think, is issue three.
All right.
And, you know, we'll go from there.
Cool. And otherwise, where should people check out your stuff?
I got my Tumblr. It's, you know, rileybrown.tumblr.com or tumblr.rileybrown.com.
I don't know.
I'm on Twitter, Facebook. I'm pretty easy to find online. So.
Yeah. Right. And we also got the gauntlet series he did that we're going to give away to a lucky fan in the audience.
Look at that.
All right, there we go. Very cool. All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah!
Hooray! Stack. We did it. We called it in.
We did.
We're going to talk about some books we particularly like, go to bat for them. First one we're going to talk about, this is Pete's pick, Axis number 4 from Marvel Comics. Pete, before we talk about this, I'm curious.
Right.
Why did you pick this book?
Well,
clearly you're a fan of like crossovers and just you're into
the psychological
profile of these characters. Right. And
or maybe it's Rick Remender. You really love his writing and doing with Uncanny
or
Avengers.
The amazing art is so good.
The reason I picked it, guys, is because I opened up to the first page and it said Altered Beast. Right there, and I was a huge fan of the game back in the day, and I was like, I'm going to pick this one.
So when we were...
that was one of those old Konami games, right?
Yeah.
I love those things, man. They're all the same, but they're all awesome.
So when we were picking books...
Right, no, so
when we were picking books, Justin read a bunch of books this week.
Right.
I read a bunch of books this week.
Yep.
You flipped to the title page.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly right.
I think we finally compromised our journalistic credibility.
Finally? Yeah.
Yes.
But I haven't, I haven't checked out Axis at all. Obviously, it's a big event going on in Marvel, so I figured, hey, we should probably talk about one of these. Yeah. Plus that title really got me. Whoever designed that did it was smart. It was
Altered
really
Beast.
Smart. Yeah. there's a lot of crazy shit going on in this comic.
Yes.
I'm kind of glad I read it.
That's probably, by the way, Chris Eliopoulos, who is the letterer, right?
That could be.
I don't know who came up with the title. Either Rick Remender or
the person that writes the letters doesn't always come up with the letters to write.
yeah, sure.
That's probably usually a writer.
Rick Remender probably came up with the title. I'm just saying. Pete said he enjoyed the title.
The way it was, spread out.
Very good typography. I think we can all agree.
Across the board.
The kerning on this shit is tight, dude.
I don't even know what that
means. No one kerns like Eliopoulos.
I know, exactly. Oh, he's a hell of a... Because his name's so long, he's used to like deciding
he's intimate
space.
With the kerning.
Yeah. Real kerning crowd here.
He sings that song. He goes, no one kerns like Eliopoulos. No one...
I'm glad we have enough trust that you think, like, I'll drop and do a Beauty and the Beast song. And Justin will know what I mean.
Oh, my God.
No one curves like Eliopoulos and writes like Eliopoulos. He's not a writer in this book. Okay.
Great.
Really magical,
Great,
guys.
Pete.
I think we covered that.
No.
I think that review warranted why you like this book. Since you like the title page, we got a title page review.
But let's talk about what's going on. Inside, guys.
Oh, you read on?
Yeah. I read the comic.
Oh, you did? Because you're flipping it open right now as if you didn't read it.
No. I wanted to show you what
you
I was...
You want to read it really quickly while we're...
Fuck you, asshole.
I got it.
Fine. Sorry for trying to show the audience what I wanted to talk about.
I think Rick and Lionel totally knocked that issue out of the park. Are we allowed to spoil things here?
Yeah.
When Apocalypse shows up, that's one of the most badass Apocalypse drawings I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Well, can we...
I mean, I don't know why he was at a press conference. That was a little weird, but that was pretty cool.
I read the first issue of Axis. I missed the second two. I was planning on catching up, but obviously, who cares?
Well, I can catch you up. Wait, so, in the Well, let me just catch up, and then it's all you. So this is the Red Skull takes over, has Charles Xavier's brain in his head. He becomes Onslaught.
So weird.
The Red Onslaught wreaks havoc. Hate goes all around the world.
Sure,
it's terrible. It's working on everybody. Iron Man is the only one that has some sort of protection.
They
defeat him. And then
they
defeat the Red Skull.
I think it's an interesting plot structure to have like them face like the toughest bad guy that ever showed up in the Marvel Universe practically like in the beginning in Act One.
Right. I was really surprised, and I was like, "Oh, that's so great!" Yeah. The pace, and then you move into this is the second arc inversion, and the heroes are acting a little weird.
Yeah, like that's why I wanted to show the audience. There's a panel here where Falcon pistol slaps Nick Fury across the face.
Nick Fury had it coming.
Did
he?
We've all wanted to do that to Nick Fury.
I don't know.
amazing. And then, like, I was like, okay, that's going to be the highlight. Nope. If you go on here, there's what you talked about, which was amazing, the cameo of Apocalypse.
Genesis, really.
Yeah.
Genesis, yeah.
Look at that entrance.
And I love it. Out of nowhere, you just see Apocalypse with the X-Men.
He shows up at the end of the previous issue.
But it's not done, guys.
He loses a fight with the psychic fight.
That's the first time you see them. They're still
jacked.
Fighting.
He gets jacked. You're talking about my workout routine. I got to get on his workout routine.
Exactly.
He's in like three panels. He went from scrawny 14-year-old to like monster.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, can we talk about...
Wait. Hang on, I just want to finish. Yeah, so then you have normal Hulk here.
Here's your altered beast.
Yeah, then the altered beast. Oh, look at that fucking Hulk right there. Holy shit.
So can we talk about this moment for a second?
Yes.
So Hulk's friends, who are all kind of crazy with whatever's going on with the Red Skull, are being really mean to him. And he's like, Hulk's sad. When Hulk gets sad, he turned into... Claw!
Well, it's even better. He says, "You wouldn't like me when I'm sad,"
right?
Which is awesome. And then he goes, "I am Claw Hulk backwards," and he like wants to go party. He literally wants to go party,
right? And he leaves to go party. So
I love this new Hulk. Do you know what kind of crazy partying this Hulk is going to go on? Like the rampage of partying that Hulk is going to...
Why can't you give Lobo that kind of benefit of the doubt?
Yeah! Slam back!
New Hulk. He's got a new haircut and he's every... What the hell?
I think the reason is...
He's more emo, too.
The new Hulk got bigger.
Lobo got smaller. Now I think we're just learning about Pete.
He did get exactly. He's got muscle envy.
Here's my only little weird problem with this. Hulk is an actual word, and Claw is not.
Oh,
well,
what?
That's your complaint? That's your complaint, Cypher?
Cypher, don't get gassed.
Excuse me, Hulk. Your naming is not clever enough for me.
Use
that brain of yours to...
Right.
Yeah, come on, man.
I don't know.
Get on board.
But if he was really the backwards Hulk, he would be smaller.
Hulk would come up with something smarter next time.
No, yeah. But it's not if they're not backwards, it's the inversion of their...
He just turned into Michelangelo, who's a party dude.
He says, Claw gonna rut and roll. That means fuck. So watch out wherever he's going.
Watch out, ladies.
Yeah.
Great. Why don't we move on with your pick? Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Now, this is kind of officially kicking off the Spider-Verse storyline.
Spider-Man
comics. What do you think of it so far?
I mean, this, it's a big, when this was first announced, I was like, whew, that's a lot to do. All the Spider-Man, all the Spider characters all rolled into one crossover. And I was like, I wonder how he's going to do it. It feels a little gimmicky. But I got to give Dan Slott credit. It reads really well. The lead-up issues have been great and great little stories that are, like, not essential that you go read them all, but they're really good and interesting, and you're seeing all these characters come together. And then it's great. The villains, Morlun and his evil dimension-hopping family, are good villains.
Yeah, this is awesome.
I love it.
This whole crossover has been making me so happy to read.
Yeah.
Just because... Like you said, all the spin-offs, they've introduced a Gwen Stacy version of Spider-Man.
They've introduced
a little girl who's dressed up in a giant robot mech spider suit. They've introduced all these different variations, and they're all really very grounded, emotional stories that get to the heart of what makes Spider-Man so great. And it's really... it's a joy to read. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it really is.
I got to say, it also sounds crazy, but I love the Peter Parker Silk relationship.
Yeah?
It's awesome.
Fuck you.
That is fun. I think it's fun.
It's great. Yeah. Oh, wait. Are you upset about this?
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on. The reason... So, Silk is this new character. She was bit by the same spider as Peter Parker, same powers as him. Right, they have this spider animal totem thing, attraction, where they make out all the time. Pete's problem is with a story that happened 15 to 20 years ago.
It's got to be at least,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, there was a time when Peter Parker was actually married to Mary Jane.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you remember. It's the fucking classic story of who fucking Spider-Man is.
Yeah, I think so. I don't remember. Who is this Mary Jane?
Which one was she?
Of you.
She's the police detective that was killed by the Scourge of the Underworld.
Is she the blonde one?
Fuck you.
You know, they're being super shady about who Old Man Spider is. You think maybe? Mary Jane?
Mary Jane?
Yeah.
Old Man Spider.
I think you're right.
Real twist.
Laugh it up, guys. Yeah. Laugh it up.
So do you like this?
It's not a painful thing at all. I would like to agree that I think the sexual tension between those two is fun.
It's not just tension. It's sex.
Well, right. Yeah. Okay. But, you know, he's like, you know, obviously Peter Parker's like, stop it. Stop, you know, looking at me like that. He's trying to put on clothes, and she's sitting on the bed just looking at him. It's great.
I love that.
But the problem is, what sucks is it had to come at a price to get to that. And do I think it's worth it? No.
What price?
They sacrificed their marriage for this bullshit moment.
That was 50 to 80 years ago.
Who gives a shit?
No, it can't be that long.
That was at least half a century.
No, it wasn't that long. Yeah. We haven't been doing the show that fucking long.
Yeah, we have.
I think their divorce is in Amazing Fantasy number 15.
I believe Mark Twain wrote their divorce.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, you're thinking of the guy that wrote the Bible.
Anyways.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm
Revelation.
Moses. Yes. Moses wrote the divorce.
Yeah. Okay. Well, one of my favorite books is Huckleberry Spider-Man.
Pete, I gotta say, I'm with you. Like when the marriage,
I mean, she made a deal with the devil.
First unhappened,
right?
Like that bummed me out, and it was hard to enjoy a Spider-Man story for a while after that. But given that it's happened, given that, and the stories are always a lot. Like they're always, you know, you're just waiting for till Superman comes back to life again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't. It's just enjoy it.
Enjoy the ride.
Enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I hear it. I'm trying. But they keep throwing it in my fucking face, so it's really hard.
They got to do that to you.
Yeah, they do.
I would disagree that's what they're doing.
There's a song, Pete, that I think you should hear.
Oh, my God. Don't sing more Beauty and the Beast.
Was that the one you were saying?
All right.
Wait, before we move on, I just want to say, you know, I haven't been too excited about the whole setup of this, but the Spider-Ham moment was amazing.
Well, I have to say, Olivier Coipel is killing it here, man.
Yeah, the art is
every single like Spider-Man costume, every Spider-Man character.
It's so
ever.
Different and so great. Like, it's really amazing.
And the way
is he being inked or colored by somebody different?
No, he's doing it himself. It's all Olivier right there.
Because his art looks a little different.
I mean,
do they
credit? Is there another inker? No, it's just all him.
Color artist Justin Ponser.
It looks amazing. Don't tell him I said this, but Olivier is my spirit animal. That guy is unbelievable.
That's a nice compliment. Yeah, that's cool. But Silver Sable.
I mean, just like the way, like you mentioned Spider-Ham, that he can put such a cartoony character into the mix with all these other realistically drawn characters, and it doesn't look weird. And he looks appropriately cartoony, but also fits into the overall visual.
Yeah.
That's not an easy trick to pull off, and he nailed it, you know?
Yeah. It's a great book. Definitely pick it up, even if you haven't read the stuff leading up to this. It gets you right in, and it's a really, really fun, exciting storyline.
Is Peter Parker still married to a pig, Mary Jane?
No, that got erased as well.
Mary Jane Water Buffalo?
Mary Jane Water
Buffalo.
Sorry,
I'm not a real Spider-Man fan, I guess.
Wow.
Sorry.
How'd that feel saying out loud?
Look at the way Pete is judging you.
He
said you took away my Mary Jane.
He's literally burned a hole.
You will not take away my Water Buffalo.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, you can go back and reread those issues.
That's all I got.
Cool. Cool. Let's roll on with my pick. Birthright, number 2 for Phoenix
Comics.
Woo. There we go. I don't know if you guys have been reading this book. It is just the second issue, so you might have missed it. But it's by Joshua Williamson, good friend of the show. Mm-hmm. And it is a great book. Amazing. I love the first issue, love the second issue even more. The idea of the book is there's this kid. He disappears in the forest while his father is chasing after him. Years later, after the family has been destroyed, basically everybody thinks the father killed him, hid the body somewhere. It's very dark, very disturbing. Family is broken up. The kid returns as an older, bearded, hulking Conan the Barbarian type and tells this story of, I was taken to this fantasy land. I went on all these adventures. I was the one who was fated to kill the evil villain Lore, and I finally did it, so I'm returning to you. And that was the first issue, and you're like, wow, this is a crazy story. Nobody's really believing him. He's in police custody. And the reveal at the end of the first issue is that he actually lost to Lore, and Lore, the evil villain, is controlling him and telling him to essentially open a portal from their world to Earth so he could take over Earth.
This sounds awesome. Do you have it here?
I have the second issue on the iPad.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, who publishes it? How do I find
Image.
This?
Image. Yeah. Okay. So the Image second comics. Issue is picking dope. Up on that. I think what Josh is doing here is he's really doing, and I mean this as a compliment, he's channeling Brian K. Vaughan, because every issue starts with a very big idea, a big moment, and ends with this really huge moment, and he's doing it so well. And there's that great, awesome twist at the end of the first issue that continues to pay off fantastically, both in action and story throughout the second issue. What did you guys think of it?
I didn't read the first issue. I thought the second issue was easy to understand what was going on a little bit. I was blown away by not only the art, but the storytelling and how clear they made who we're rooting for and what was going on. And it's very powerful and amazing. And here's this the brother, the kid, is kind of trapped between the reality of what he knows and his parents. And then his long lost brother went on this crazy adventure. And it's just so amazing how they started it with these two people walking down the hall, kind of catching us up. And then you see the weapons that he has on the tables, which I was a huge fan of.
Because
this guy from this barbarian world. So he's got all these swords and these amazing things. Not to spoil it, but there's this moment where there's this thing of do we believe him? Do we believe him? And then the dad was like, the weapons are down the hall, son. He was like, thanks, Dad. It was just amazing.
I thought for sure you were going to say, not to spoil it, but there were 15 weapons on that.
There was more than 15.
Maybe 17 weapons.
No, there's more than that. Intense.
I only read up to that point. I was just counting the weapons. Yeah. Looking at the
The other thing we should mention about the structure of the book, which I also think is very cool, is that so far at least the first two issues, it takes place in the present, and then it flashes back
to a
story that happened to this kid when he just arrived in this fantasy world before whatever horrible thing happened to him. So it's a great structure, great stories, really great art. I really enjoyed this book.
The artist is Andre Brisson? Is that how you say that?
I think
Something like that. Really beautiful stuff.
What did you think of it, Justin?
I loved it. But Pete, why would you need so many different similar-looking swords?
Dude, what are you fucking talking about? Each one is clearly made for something else. You know what I mean?
But it's
some
a sword.
Of them are curved differently, have different
edges.
But why would
you need? You're like, oh, that's my cheese sword. That's my my soup sword.
I have several different cheese knives for different types of cheese.
Yeah. You've already established yourself as a Park Slope dandy. So none of us are going to live our lives that way.
I'm just saying, when I was a kid, I got lost in a forest, and I came back with a lot of different cheese knives.
You have to have your goblin sword, your orc sword, your ogre sword.
You got lost in Prospect Park. That's not a forest.
I did, and it was for 5 minutes.
Hey. The difference between a Phillips head screwdriver and a flathead screwdriver?
True, that's two.
All right, so that's they're similar but different at the end. So that's why you need all these different swords here.
So he uses the same knife for everything, I bet. He's just butcher knife, chops at the butter, fine. It cuts the salami, cuts everything as equally.
So you're saying Petey sees an enemy and he's like, oh, you look like you need...
He thinks about it a little bit, okay, he's probably going to go with this one.
Exactly. If the enemy has scales, you have to have the serrated edge,
Exactly.
So, I can't because some of the shading is a little, but I'm counting 47 weapons on here, so...
Wow, that's pretty amazing. That is on one guy. Man levels, right?
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
It's like in a video game, you know, when like your character collects all this equipment and like you look at the character design, you're like, where is he holding all that stuff?
Yeah.
Like, how's he carrying all this shit around with him all the time?
You know, it's a multi-sword. A multi-sword that you can spin out like a Swiss Army sword.
Like, was Link from Legend of Zelda really carrying a raft with him the entire adventure?
Yeah. It does make a lot of sense. You could just relash a new...
Yeah, I will say the rest of that game makes sense, though.
There's a lot of things that do make sense where he meets a guy and he's like, hey, man, you're going to need this. And he hands him a wooden sword. It's like, hey, he's right. That's very down to earth.
Yeah, but
and the other lady's like, hey, man, you need this medicine. You look sick, dude.
Right. But then that thing where it's like, I can't see what's one square over. I can't see through there.
His vision's not that great. Back in the Middle Ages, like, their eyes weren't... you have glasses. He didn't have glasses.
Yeah, they were very squinty. Imagine. You're right.
This is like a really well-drawn, beautiful story that is just...
You're still talking about
magical.
You're still talking about the weapons table.
Yeah. It's magical, but like at the same time, so badass.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
You aspire to be both of those things.
And that's it for the stack. All right, next up, it's my favorite section. It's your audience questions. And for that, I'm going to go out to you guys. Excuse me, Riley.
Lovely.
So, here's how this works. You guys think of a question about anything, anything nerdy, anything geeky, anything for this guy, our amazing guest over here. You will get some free comic books.
Yeah, you will.
Just by asking a question. So raise your hand. I will come up to you. You will ask your question. You'll get some free comic books. It'll be awesome. So anybody raise your hand.
It's going to be great.
Anybody? All the way in the back. Come on up here.
All the way downtown.
I'll meet you halfway. We'll have a good time. What's your name, sir?
Ben.
Okay, what's your question?
Riley, I have a question. Do you want to redesign any of the... because you worked on Lobo. Do you want to redesign any other characters right now? Have you pitched anything to anyone? Something where you're just like, I want a brand new, spanking new on this one.
Pitched
other
redesign?
DC characters, you mean?
I mean,
DC or Marvel characters you'd like to redesign?
At the moment, on Lobo, all the characters, other than Lobo, who was designed before I got onto the series, all the other characters are completely designed by me. His supporting cast, all his enemies. So, I mean, that's kind of where my design, like energy is going at the moment. As far as redesigning other characters, I don't know. I mean. I always like to take it on as a challenge, just to like take other people's designs and sort of make them my own, and you know, in my own way. I hadn't really thought about what characters I like to redesign. I mean,
what about like a sexy Wolverine?
Now you're talking. Well, he's dead, right? He's dead at the moment.
Yeah, he is dead.
It's a perfect time for a redesign. Yeah. And
I mean, that chest hair was just going to waste with all that shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Get his shirt off, for God's sake.
By sexy, you mean fatter, right?
Yeah. Right, Pete? I think we're all on board.
Worming at the thought.
Yeah, just keep kicking me while I'm down. Just keep.
You're down because of this Lobo thing?
Yeah.
You're down and out because Lobo is
It's Lobo. It's fucking Wolverine. It's goddamn Spider-Man. I mean.
What do you enjoy? What do you like?
We should have asked you that years ago.
He likes Spider-Man being married. Oops.
Well, I'm enjoying the Deadpool until they ruin it.
There you go. Yeah. Jordan White, who's pretty much Deadpool's boss in the audience.
Yeah.
Can we ruin this for him, please?
Yeah. Oh, great. Yay.
Oh, wait. He's going to ruin it for him. Yes.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Do you think sexy Lobo could steal Deadpool's wife from him?
Oh, my God. I'm so glad there can't be a crossover there.
There can be.
No, there can't.
There can.
That's a good one.
No, it's not.
I smell a
Deadpool.
Commission.
Wade and Shikla's love is true. There's nothing that can stand between
Pete,
them.
Pete, what would you? I know you're not near a mic right now, but what would you do if sexy Lobo killed Deadpool?
I mean, what choice would I have? I would have to quit the show, right? I would have to.
That's when you would finally retire to the mountains, right?
Yeah, I would have to go live in the mountains.
I don't know.
I just have such a clear picture of you being like closing the comic book and being like, "Well, take it off all my clothes, leave it forever."
Yep.
Don't we'll
burn
need
it all
in the mountains.
For his whole burn past it. Life, walk away silently, and then the next day, he's in a suit, he's in a tie, haircut, shaved face. He's
crying as I'm shaving my goatee.
He's a new person. Like, his
Wolf
past
of
life
Wall
is done.
Street, they call
but
him.
But honestly, if I could draw Deadpool and Lobo, like just them fighting, I don't know who would win, That would be a fucking hell of a fight.
I think it'd be great if Lobo beat Deadpool and then he came back as like a Franken Deadpool.
You know what I mean?
That would be a cool. That'd be a cool idea.
What if? Dude, what if instead of? What if instead of fighting?
Money. Yeah, that's money.
What if instead of fighting, what if they were fucking?
Okay.
Oh my God, why would you say that?
That doesn't annoy Pete. That's just generally weird.
That's just generally weird.
Now there's going to be fans. Would you draw that for me tomorrow night?
Yeah. It's just
now that's a
would
commission.
You draw that for me? You'll draw anything. You already said you draw anything.
Alex is going to come up to you after the show and be like, "Hey man, I was super serious about that." So like, can you do that right now?
How much would that be?
Can you read my fanfic? I think it'd be pretty cool.
I need to draw tonight. Could you draw it tonight?
I did.
I have a commission. You said you wouldn't say no to a commission if the money was right.
All right, raise your hand if you got a question. We can take another question. Anybody?
I'd
yes.
Say no to that commission. Sure. I would say
right
no
over there. That's the one line. Up. What's your name, sir?
Dave.
All right, Dave. What's your question?
With as big as Deadpool has gotten for you, with everybody shouting your name at Comic-Con versus Power Play, do you see more Power Play come back into, you know, expanding that out further, or where do you see yourself going on the individual side?
Nice.
Yeah. Good question.
So a Power Play fan.
I think that was an objective question. Yeah, that was just a regular fan.
Well, okay. I mean, I am dying to get back to creator-owned stuff. I've got St. George at Dark Horse and Power Play, which I've been producing independently with Kurt Christensen. And I'm dying to get back to both of those. So I don't know. When my Lobo run is done, we'll see where I go. But we'll see, you know, what opportunities I have. But I'm definitely dying to get back to creator-owned stuff, both St. George and Power Play. And
cool.
You know, so I don't know. Right now, there's no concrete plans for anything. But the future,
it could change.
Yeah. Who knows?
All right, very cool. Let's get another question, please. Anybody
another
in the audience?
Another question could be
anybody,
about anything.
All you have to do is ask a thing, and you get free comics.
That's could right.
Be anybody,
personal.
This is not hard. Yeah, if you have, like, love
topical
advice.
Topical stuff.
Or if you have a question about...
We have those free Deadpool comics, is there?
Well, we got...
Those are for later.
Yes, we do. Oh, you, sir, right over there.
Yeah,
come on up. All right, what's your name, sir?
Curtis.
Curtis, what's your question?
This is a very random question, but in a world that seems to be emphasizing a lot of live-action series right now, where do you think there's a space for animated series?
Ah, very nice. Ooh. That's a great question.
Yeah, it's a great question.
Too animated. Random, not answering it. No thanks. Well, what do you guys think?
Animated series for television.
An animated series of what? Because animation, that's never gone anywhere. Didn't they just bring back the Young Justice?
Yeah. I think what he means is like a little bit of like because there's all these TV shows being made now that are live action.
Are you talking about the comic book shows? Like there's Flash, whatever.
Yeah.
Where we used to have.
I don't think he wants an animated CSI. If that's what you're thinking.
Oh, man.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Oh, that would be so sweet. Dude. Think about what they could do.
Animated Law and Order.
Oh, just so good.
Just think of the cutaways.
Oh, man.
Anime The Good Wife.
Great. So many mature themes.
Animated Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Oh, but shit.
Yeah, finally.
Finally.
They are animated enough.
I can finally watch
a cartoon with my wife.
It'll happen. Every once in a while.
I think I've spotted her now. She was laughing and now crying. So
she knows it's true.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I feel like the cycle comes around again where there's a primetime animated show. I don't know if it'll be something superhero, but I feel like that makes so much sense given by next year, every single TV show is going to be a comic book-based TV show.
Yeah.
So we're going to get something sooner rather than later.
I have friends who have independent comics that are in production of some sort in the animated world. So, I mean, I know stuff on the horizon.
Yeah.
Like what?
I've got a cool
Tell
answer.
Us the stuff on the horizon.
Not my story to tell, man.
Sure it is.
Just wait till we get to the horizon. I've got a pretty good answer, I think. Bone. I'd like to see a Bone animated.
There already is. Hard. There's a show. It's David Boreanaz is in it, and Zoe Deschanel's sister.
Oh, is that what that is?
Bone. It's Bone.
Which one's Phone Bone? Is that
David? That's David Boreanaz.
What about that like Goon trailer from a couple years ago?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see that, man.
He's
that
trying to make a feature for that. Yeah.
How do we make that happen?
The
money, I think. Mostly.
If we all raise our hands to say we want it, does that make it happen?
Yeah.
Well, let's try. All right.
There we go. Congratulations. We just made it happen.
That there you go, pal.
The Deadpool test footage that Ryan Reynolds did, the yes. voiceover, is like amazing.
Please.
Yeah, please. Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah. But in essence, to answer your question, our cartoons are stupid. All right, let's take one more.
Wow.
Oh, what?
Way to draw the line.
Are we going to choose?
We just got,
Oh, okay. Riley, from those questions, please choose your favorite question, and they're going to get a big stack of Deadpool comics. What was the best question that was asked tonight?
You ask about power play, you got to get a prize
yeah.
for that.
All right, there we go.
Yeah, nice.
All right, congratulations. And that's great it for your audience questions. Thank you. All right, guys,
audience.
We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Week in Geek.
Oh, man, so much to talk about.
Pretty excited about this. Now, in The Week in Geek, we like to talk about geek culture topics, things happening elsewhere in the world of geek. Let's kick it off with this little bit of news. News came out about the Fantastic Four movie that's being made. We still don't know a lot about it, but Tobey Kebbell, who was the bad guy in the new Planet of the Apes movie and right. was amazing, yeah. is also Dr. Doom in the Fantastic Four movie, which is pretty cool. Very exciting. He's an amazing actor. While doing junkets for the DVD release, he started talking a little bit about the movie's take on Dr. Doom. Turns out he's not actually called Dr. Doom.
What?
His name is actually Victor Domashev.
Close.
And his online name, because he's a programmer and hacker, is Doom.
Oh, so he's
wait,
not...
Wait, what?
He's not like an evil...
Connect the dots for me. What the fuck
like
are we saying right now?
That's super cool. That's super cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. He's like a
So he's not... Dr. Doom is a computer hacker?
So he's not a doctor, okay. and his name's
so
not
that's
Doom.
Like his like screen name he came up with when he was in high school, and he just
yeah, exactly.
It, and he was like, oh.
It's actually Doom 573.
Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, man.
At AOL.com.
What was your like your first screen name?
My first
great
my,
question.
All of mine are not particularly great. It was just AZ3456 because I thought 3456 was a cool number.
That's super lame. That was a cool number?
3456?
3456.
Oh, man. So cool. So also, cool.
My first AOL screen name is comic book related. It was Boss Smiley.
That's kind of
cool.
Wow.
Sandman. Very.
That's good. Was there a number at the end? You just got that? Like at
I
AOL.
Did just get it. But though I had to, there was no E in Smiley.
Oh. Yeah.
So I had to
still
go.
Cool. Still
Pete,
cool.
Pete, what about you?
Really? We're doing this?
Yeah. Well, yes, we've done this.
Oh, Pete, yours couldn't be embarrassing.
Oh, yeah, sure it couldn't. My screen name was
be honest.
Was Pedro S. Funky.
Holy crap! I love that.
Pedro S. Funky. Funky.
That's my favorite.
Wait, were you Riley, taking, what
like,
about you?
You were like in sophomore Spanish or something?
Yep.
Mine was Frogman X because I liked Chrono Trigger and I liked McMahon X.
Man. Chrono Trigger.
Wait, can
great.
We get back to this fucking news for a second?
Yeah, okay. Sure.
So there isn't really a Dr. Doom. It's just some made up shit.
Well, he's a scary like computer guy.
Yeah. And
that's,
actually,
that's the big take on Fantastic Four. It's like they're going to stop a computer hacker.
Yeah, and actually, the rest
you're
going to
have superheroes stopping a computer hacker. That's
no, because none of them are superheroes. They're all hackers. Yeah,
wait,
yeah, and
they're not astronauts?
Reed Richards is at Mr. Fantastic, and
you got to follow Johnny Storm on Instagram. He's
yeah,
got some
at
crazy
the
photos.
Human Torch
wow.
25.
I'd follow wow. Snapchat.
Yeah,
a thing on
think
Snapchat.
Of like I mean, if you like the movie Sneakers, you're gonna love the Fantastic
Four.
Like,
hey,
Sneakers
was
a great
I love the
movie.
Sneakers.
You watch
I
your
love
mouth.
The movie
that was a great fucking
so,
movie.
So yeah. Wait, when Ben Grimm says it's clobbering time, is he just like? Downloading something.
He's
super
talking
hard.
About C++.
Yeah,
he has like a great internet connection.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, instead he says it's buffering time.
Yeah. Oh man.
Oh man.
That's great.
I love it.
It's buffering.
That
time.
Is I'm, really.
Yeah, Johnny Storm I'm, says flame war on.
See,
yeah.
Jesus.
Thank you.
It's good. That's it. I fully support
I'm one of those guys that when like a movie happens based on the comic, I just want it to be as much like the comic as possible. Like,
yeah.
I like.
Well,
like,
I just
I like,
don't. I mean, it could be totally fine. Like,
maybe.
Josh Trank's great. The actors are great. I'm really interested to see what they do with the movie.
It could be a cool movie.
I just don't understand
the
why everybody is so
awful,
embarrassed by Dr. Doom
well,
in particular.
I don't know. But, like, there, when you change something so much, like it could be a great movie, you know? And the Fantastic Four is a great franchise. It's a great bunch of characters. But, like, when I see a Fantastic Four movie, I want to see the comic book kind of come to life.
Right.
And, like, yeah. there's a point where they change so many things about a movie.
Why call it Fantastic Four?
Like, yeah, why does it have to be the Fantastic Four? Why not just make it a new movie?
Right.
Call them something else. Then a new person gets to have a new property they own.
Because you won't see it. Not as many people will see it. You know,
that's
you make,
true. Well,
like,
maybe. Cool, so it's a marketing
cool dude,
thing?
Cool Dude 5 or something like that. Nobody knows what it is.
It's a marketing thing.
It's a marketing thing, yeah.
If you make Pedro S. Funky the movie... Like, I don't know how many people are going to see it.
Pedro S. Funky will sell more tickets than Fantastic Four will. I swear to God.
Yeah. All right. We'll see what happens next year when Pedro S. Funky and Fantastic Four hit theaters on the same day. Cool. Let's talk about some TV shows because, as usual, there's a lot of geeky TV shows on. So let's talk about them pretty quickly. Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big episode. Huge stuff happening. Close your ears if you don't want to hear spoilers.
Well, and also if you have the comic books.
Right. Also, close your ears if you didn't read the comic books 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But finally, we found out what comic book readers had known, and it got to the point where I was actually starting to doubt myself a little bit. But Eugene has been lying.
Right.
He's not actually a scientist. There is no cure for the zombie plague. They're all fucked.
That was, right. yeah. that
but
was so
like,
brilliant.
Great yeah. What an amazing...
Did you know that was coming? Have you
I haven't read... I'm not... I read the first trade of The Walking Dead. I'm not that far into it. And so the TV show is totally new to me. And man,
really?
That grabbed me. That was awesome.
How about that punch, though? That was amazing punch. That was so fucking awesome.
That's quality acting.
I mean, the way he just fell like that. It was so great.
He fell down on his face.
I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, I hope you're dead.
You guys who read the comic, you got to tell me, he lives, right? He's not dead?
They do take different choices with the TV show.
Yeah, he might be dead.
Okay.
I bet he's dead. No, really?
Yeah.
I hope he's dead?
Yeah.
Why?
Fuck that guy.
He just Who's said dead? A lie. Know, he was very nice
but
about
they,
it.
I want them to have to deal with the crap.
Yo, he blew up the bus.
I want them to have to deal with having this jerk with them who lied about their whole life.
Yeah, well, there's... So I watched the episode, like, kind of 1.5 times, and it was really interesting watching it again because... His decision at the end of the episode is basically presaged in the first scene where he's having a conversation on the bus. And I think it's Tara's like, hey, what are you thinking about? Yeah. He's like, I'm thinking about what the preacher did.
Yeah.
And what when you watch the scene, you're like, oh, you're thinking about it as the whole fight in the church and everything that went on a couple of episodes back. But he's talking about the preacher
confessing.
Father Gabriel told the truth.
Yeah.
So that's what he's thinking about the entire episode, and I thought that was a really interesting journey.
I didn't watch it twice. If I watched it once, I get that.
No, I totally didn't catch
or
that
one
the
and
first
a half.
Time.
You gotta watch it.
But there's a lot of moments
like
that.
I thought he was like, well, we left them with the preacher who's kind of shady, but okay.
Yeah, no, there's a couple of moments like that through the episode where watching
show,
it again.
Man,
yeah.
It's got different levels, man.
It's gotten good. Like I know that's what
a zombie movie would be that kind of you know.
I love the way they just keep moving through the storylines though. We don't have to sit and wonder all season long like, oh, is
he driving me nuts, man? They've got three different they pretty much have three different series happening at the same time.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah.
It's driving
me awesome.
Up the friggin'
really
wall.
But do you remember how long they were at Herschel's farm? How long they were there? That's crazy.
Okay, that's true. We could.
Yeah,
they saw corn grow.
Herschel's farm, but now it's like this show's not coming out once a week. We have three different shows that are coming out once a month. It's
I mean, that's true, but I still you get to check in a little bit each time. You get to see
I
the
like
next
it.
Episode. Me too.
I really
thought at first I was like, why are we flashing back a little bit? But how powerful to see that, like, the Fu Manchu guy, like, was so close to ending it and killing himself, and then he was given this real opportunity. The way he turned and looked at, like, I have a mission.
Yeah,
my God. And then, so it was just so much, like, you understood, like, why he freaked out and punched him like that. Yeah. Like, it was just.
Who didn't want to punch him at that point?
Oh, yeah.
Like I needed a punch.
It's great.
You got a punch.
Real quick, because we got to run through stuff. Anybody watch Gotham this week?
Hell yeah. It was amazing again. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I missed this week's episode. I watched two episodes
last
night.
Oh, my God, dude. Jim Gordon kicks so much ass.
Does he?
It is unbelievable. He takes on three dudes.
I'm two episodes back, the Penguin's Umbrella episode, and I really... The show's still cheesy. There's still some problems.
No, dude.
But
these next two episodes, dude.
No, I watched two episodes ago. That's what I said.
He saw the last.
But I feel like they finally are starting to figure stuff out.
I thought that episode was the first great episode of the season. And this one continues on. I think this last one was very good as well. Great moments for all the characters.
You guys are talking about how great this is. I haven't been keeping up with the show. What happened?
Well, the Penguin becomes sort of a central character. There's
Wait, we gotta take it back. There's this character called Bruce Wayne, right? And he's kind of like a boy billionaire, and his parents get killed by a thug.
Did you know that about?
Yeah. I heard about a Bruce Wayne guy, and he becomes.
But her pearls drop on the ground.
Right. And then, as far as we know, nothing happens to him ever again.
So far, he's just going to school.
Is there a Batman writer like listening right now? Because those pearls have an untold story.
Untold story.
I mean, let me be honest. I've seen those pearls more time than I've seen anything in my life. I've seen those pearls drop to pavement. I'm like, I get it. Wait,
when I close my eyes at night, I see those pearls drop.
The first issue of Batman was anything like the first issue of Spider-Man, where every single inch of that comic, every panel of that comic, because I had a whole series spun out of it.
Right, exactly.
Then now they got to do the pearls. That's a thing. Those pearls went somewhere. Someone made some money off of them. They used it to hire someone to kill somebody.
Just wait. I have a feeling there were 52 pearls on that necklace. Yeah. It's going to spin out into a multiverse spanning event coming in 2 years.
One of them was Sexy Lobo.
Ah, no! I would like to say, though, like, I really, in the beginning, the pilot, I wasn't really on board, but as the series goes on, I'm really loving where they're going with this series. Like, the fact that they're kind of showing, like, not only what Jim Gordon has to go through, but how much Gotham needs Batman. Like, there was this great conversation where, like, man, this has really gone to shit.
We could really use some sort of Batman.
Well, honestly, though, it's actually, I thought it was a little cheesy for this episode. They're like, man, this town's gone to shit. When did it happen? Well, I guess it was when the Waynes died.
Yeah.
And it's like,
we can trace it to that moment.
Cut directly to Bruce Wayne, a bat flying into his mouth. Yeah.
He's like, delicious.
Cool. We're going to have to wrap up in a second, but there was also a new Arrow this week. Pete, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, it was so
amazing.
That's
all the time we have. Yeah. All right, guys, it's time for trivia. With that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LaPlante.
The star of trivia.
I would like to say, though, amazing reveal at the end of the last Arrow.
We don't have time for this.
I'm seeking Arrow talk. Arrow's amazing. Check it out. If you haven't watched Arrow, you get the origin story of the Flash. So, yeah. All right. So, guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Because if you had $25, you would go to the comic book shop. So who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand will do.
All you have to do is
first hand up, guy. Come on up. Yeah. You guys, you remember him from the question segment.
Oh.
Oh, here we go. Come on up.
Sir, Curtis. What is your name again?
Curtis.
Audience Curtis.
Hello.
Yeah. All right, Curtis, how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. Then if you get all three questions right, you're $25.
Okay.
All right, here we go. In chew number 44, the FDA crew goes up against blank. Is it A, the collector, B, the grifter, or is it C, the Krang? So it's either A, the collector, which is the correct answer, or it's B, the grifter.
A
is correct. Congratulations, woo! Curtis. All right, question number two. In Hulk number 8, who is throwing the Hulk on the cover? Is it A, Red She-Hulk, B, Groot, or is it C, Casey Jones? So it's either A, Red She-Hulk.
I wish it was C.
Or it's B, Groot. Or it could be A, Red She-Hulk.
I think I'm going to go with A.
A is correct. All right, here we go. In Action Comics number 36... Greg Pak is the man. We have a Halloween-themed story involving blank. Is it A, zombies, B, ghosts, or is it C, Rocksteady and Bebop? So it's either A, zombies, or it's B, ghosts.
I'm going to go with A's.
A is correct. $25 free. Curtis, congratulations.
Unbelievable. That is the first time anybody has ever won trivia.
Unbelievable.
That's incredible. Close. We've been doing the show for so long.
So long.
We have first so time many ever. Gift certificates stocked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thousands of dollars. Them.
If you go to Pete's apartment, it's like smog, but with gift certificates. guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day.
Yeah, it is.
And you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. So Pete.
They have. After all these years.
After all this time.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to, not a shocker, Batman number 36. But also Hawkeye versus
So you're not looking forward
Deadpool.
To a shocker, but you are looking forward to Batman.
Yep.
That
was creepy. Yeah, and also a Hawkeye versus Deadpool number 2.
Ah, great.
Yeah. Any reason? A couple people really like it.
Yeah, great stuff.
I think it's a great team up. You know what I mean? Like,
okay. You know what? We got enough information out of you.
Sorry. Sorry.
I'm looking forward to the Fade Out number 3, the noir series. It's fantastic. Old Hollywood, a murder, great characters, just fantastic storytelling.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to Alex and Ada number 10. I know you guys rag on me for the series, but. Yep. I love it. It's about a romance between a boy and his girl robot. It is just about relationships, but every issue has this incredible, wonderful cliffhanger in it. Really enjoying the series a lot. Riley, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to the next issue of Axis. I think it's issue number 5. I think that's, man, it's been a cool story.
It's cool.
And, you know, they're just killing it on that story.
So. Cool. And plug your stuff again. What should people check out?
Lobo. Lobo number 2 just came out last week. It's probably still on the stand, so hit that up. And, Power Play, always available on Comixology.
Nice.
All right, very cool. Before we go, a couple of people, things we want to plug.
Yeah, Pete. Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show. That's it.
Oh, wow. cool. Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank Iman Bell, Tamer Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank Riley Brown for being on the show.
Yeah.
Want to thank everybody here at Fontana.
Thanks for coming out, guys.
Of all, want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thank you guys.